entrepreneurs on Born That Brew. You are now listening to the Entrepreneur Podcast with your host, Adam McChesney. Let's grow.
Welcome to the Entrepreneur Podcast. I am your host, Adam McChesney, and I want to thank you for being here. We are live from Half Coast Studios here in St. Louis, Missouri. Thank you to Half Coast for this amazing setup and sponsoring the show. If you are looking to start your podcast or take your current one to the next level, then you need to check these guys out. Contact them today for a free consultation. If you're listening, please be sure to subscribe to the show and leave us a five-star review on Apple and Spotify. We would love for you to share this on social media by tagging me, and this way we can get this incredible content out to more people. Today, I'm joined by one of the very few people in my network today that actually knew the old corporate America, Adam, before I went full-time into entrepreneurship. We have known each other for 3 or 4 years now, and this guest and I connected through a digital marketing course where I would also later take and enroll in multiple courses of hers over the time, and she would coach me from time to time. She is also a member of Apex, as many of our guests have been, and recently Forbes Business Council. She's now a member there as well. My guest today is Amy Ball. Amy is the CEO and founder of Jab Consulting Group. She helps entrepreneurs and businesses grow through automation with technology by creating proven, scalable systems. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Adam.
I'm excited to bring you on today. I know a lot of our guests are entrepreneurs that automation, technology, systems, those are things that not necessarily everyone likes to do, knows how to do, or has the capability to do. So I'm really excited for you to pour in to our audience today, and as well as talk about your entrepreneurial journey. For guests, whether it's your first time or you're returning to listen to an episode, we like to compare the entrepreneurial journeys of our guests to that of the beer brewing process. So we have a five-step process that we like to walk through, beginning with the history. So obviously with a beer, every beer has a reason behind why it's getting brewed. Amy, if you can let the audience know who you are, where you come from, and what it is that you do, that would be amazing.
Yeah, so it's almost like a smorgasbord at this point of all the things. So I was in corporate America for about, let's say 15 years, doing sales and selling technology to banks around the country, and got to the point where it was like, you know, there's probably something more than trying to shatter this glass ceiling. So went into digital marketing. From there, started a software company, and then started doing coaching and consulting probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And now I'm just, you know, as we entrepreneurs like to put in air quotes, living the dream, as because entrepreneurship can be a challenge, but it's also very gratifying in the long term when it comes to family and personal and, you know, profitability as well. So that's kind of the short snippet of, you know, who I am, where I've been. And
that's awesome. I really like how you talk about living the dream, because if I always look at social media, I know I can always find from time to time you are absolutely living the dream, traveling, having a good time. And it's really cool to see, because, you know, I think oftentimes people forget about that aspect when they get into the nitty gritty of running a business and things like that. Can you give us a little bit of an idea of what types of business owners you work with and some of the services that you offer, just to let the audience kind of know about that?
Yeah, so we work with businesses from startup up to about 75 million to 100 million in revenue. It really just depends on the structure of their teams. A lot of the businesses that we work with specifically are struggling with what you just said. You know, we go into entrepreneurship to have more time freedom and have more money and spend more time with our families. And a lot of times is, and you know this better than I do, you kind of build a job for yourself. And it comes down to the systems and processes. You know, we don't have good systems to train employees. We don't have good systems to reach out to our customers. And so what happens is us as entrepreneurs and people who are ready to kind of take the bull by the horns, we try to do everything ourselves, and we end up working 80 to 90 hours a week, which doesn't always give us the freedom and flexibility that we want. So yeah, I do get to, you know, travel a lot, and I love it. And we're constantly doing something. I feel like if I'm not doing something, I get bored real easily, but it hasn't always been that way. I'm sure you know that feeling.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely a process. And if you don't have your own stuff in place in terms of software, technology, automation, all that stuff, you can't leave your own business as well. So having that set up and doing it for other people and yourself is obviously extremely important, which is great. So step two in our entrepreneur process, we'd like to talk about the ingredients within a beer and compare that to some things that have made you successful in entrepreneurship. So what are three things that have made you successful in your journey thus far?
You know, it's funny you ask that because probably about a year ago, I emailed, or I should say a text message, because I'd much rather text message, about five people who know me real well. And I was like, what do you think are the top three things that, or the top, top one thing that has kind of set me apart from other people in the business world. And one of the things I got back was persistence. You know, I think it's a lot of times we get knocked down. And it's real hard to battle back up and get through it and say, okay, well, that didn't work, but let me keep going. So many times we see something that doesn't work, we fail on it, it doesn't quite go the way that we wanted it to. But, you know, once you start realizing that you can plan for stuff, but the plan's always going to go off course because that's just the way life happens, then it becomes a little bit easier to persevere with things. I would say second thing is probably just authenticity. You know, I tell people all the time, what you see is what you get. I'm in the process of getting a hat made that actually says that because I say it all the time. But there's no hidden agenda. You know, a lot of people, especially, and you know this in the digital marketing realm, they've been burned so badly with things that don't work or promises that aren't delivered upon. And I'm very much a, if I tell you a chicken can pull a plow kind of person, go ahead and hook it up. You know, it's gold. And I think also portraying your true character to people and not shying away from the times, like I said, that you failed or that things didn't go as planned is really important to having authentic conversations. And then the third thing is probably just curiosity. You know, I'm really, really, I like to say, nosy in a business sense. I want to know why stuff works. I want to know how stuff works. But then on the flip side of that, I'm always asking myself, okay, well, I get that this process worked for your business, but what if we did it a little bit differently? What does that look like? And then most importantly, just being curious enough to ask people when you need help, hey, can you help me with something? Because I think that's an aspect of curiosity that people don't often employ. And so when they can get things done faster by asking for help, they usually get things done faster by asking for help.
That's awesome. Those are three really good things. I think obviously starting with persistence and, you know, making sure that you're going to follow through and continue to do so until, you know, you're blue in the face type of thing. Authenticity, I'm really glad that you brought that up because I think especially in digital marketing, that is such an issue because people always are in the thought process that it's going to be a bait and switch. Whenever they're working with someone, they're like, okay, what's going to fall next? Or what's the fine print going to say? And you do a great job of literally, like you said, what you see is what you get and being yourself and putting that out there. And then obviously also going through all the trials and tribulations and explaining what it is that you've gone through, where you've been and where you're going and how you're helping people. And then the curiosity standpoint, that's one of my favorite things, because if you're not constantly improving and you're not constantly trying to figure out how it can be done better, you're only ever going to stay at that status quo. So I think those are three really powerful things, and they definitely relate to some of the success you've had for sure. So the next part that we'll take a look at here in the brewing process, step number three, we like to obviously know that great beer doesn't happen overnight. So let's talk about some of the ups and downs of your journey and what has gotten you up until this point right now.
Yeah. So there was a lot of them. You know, just moving, and you know this as well as I do, from a corporate environment to being self-employed, you don't realize all of the things and responsibilities that come along with that. It's not just doing what you're good at anymore. Now it's hiring, managing, bookkeeping, accounting, sales, marketing, and every aspect in between. And so being able to manage those different processes and actually put some structure around it was something that I never had to do before. So again, I fell back into that trap of, okay, well, I'll just do it all, which was a huge mistake. You know, it wasn't until I got audited the first year and that I got a bookkeeper, or I decided that there were things within my business that I didn't like doing. And so I outsourced them or hired for that skill. Another lesson was, hey, Amy, you're not a really good manager. You know, I would hire these employees and just expect them to know what it is and how to do it. So I would, okay, I'll teach you once, but that's not how people learn. So it was going back to the drawing board and figure out, okay, I'm responsible for this person. Sure, they should be accountable to themselves to learn. However, I need to be a better teacher. And so there were lots of ups and downs. You know, I rode the revenue roller coaster for a bit, where we'd have real good months and then we'd have real crappy months. So it was trying that ebb and flow of how do we not only get the clients, but how do we keep the clients and how do we keep them coming in the top of the funnel as well? So there were a lot of, you know, learning experiences that I've had to go through, picking business partners, choosing clients. You know, you don't want to work with everybody. That's sure. I'm sure something that you've encountered too. Am I right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's very, very difficult. And I think, you know, the one thing that I always think about, cause I have, you know, a lot of friends that are still in corporate America, people don't really understand how massive of a transition that is from going and working in sales or wherever in corporate America and then running your own thing. I thought I had it all figured out. I have no idea why I thought that, but you think you're invincible until you realize you're not.
Totally do. It's so funny you say that, because when I was there, I would always say things like, those people, because I was in sales, those people in marketing, they're terrible. They don't know what they're doing, or that finance guy's got it screwed up again. And looking back at it, then I started screwing it all up myself, right, as an entrepreneur. But, you know, that's just the way life works. You know, when you're a kid, you don't get on a bike and just start pedaling. You got to fall off a few times. You got to build trust in yourself so that you're willing to let mom let go of the back of you so you can actually ride it by yourself. And, you know, I think that's where a lot of us as entrepreneurs, we don't think that way. You know, we think myopically to where it's, well, I should just be able to open this business because I know how to do plumbing and I'm a great plumber. So why can't I be successful? And then when things go off track or off the rails, then we start doubting ourselves and we start seeding in all these doubts again, that we aren't taking into consideration that it's still a learning process, right? And it's okay to have the ups and downs. And as long as you're learning from them and figuring out how to improve upon it, then it's still progress and it's still success.
Absolutely. And I love how you talked about it's always a learning process. And I think for me, that's been one of the biggest struggles in my entrepreneurial journey is if you're in sales, like you can just keep hitting your quota every single month and continue to grow and scale and do all these things. But when you're running a business and sales is just one tiny aspect to it, and that's all you're comfortable at knowing as like a KPI, you're in for a very rude awakening if you're not open to the learning process. So I really like how you talk about that there. The fourth step that we'll talk about today is the fermentation and conditioning process. So within a beer, this is where you're waiting to see the final results of what the beer tastes like, and then figure out what tweaks need to be made in order to get better. So what we like to ask our guests is, Amy, if there is a biggest lesson that you have learned that would help someone that's an entrepreneur save them years worth of mistakes, what would that be?
Well, first of all, I got to tell you, the more you talk about this beer, the more I kind of want to go get one after we're done. But biggest lesson I would say, and there's so many, but you know, don't be afraid to be uniquely you. You know, when you're getting into entrepreneurship, it's very easy because most businesses, unless you're, you know, not creating the next iPhone or something that's completely new, you're just building a better mousetrap. And so what we do is we go in and we try to copy the existing mousetrap and we wonder why it doesn't work for us, right? Well, this guy was successful and I'm doing the same thing. but you're not him, you know? And so what tends to happen is that we lose sight of ourselves in the process of business. You know, we get up, we go to work in the morning, and all of a sudden we become this person that we're not. We become, you know, Eddie the executive, and we leave all of our personality at home. You know, we lose our flair, we lose our flavor, we lose our humor, and sometimes we lose our humanity with it. So you get there and people start hating their job and wondering why they're still doing this, and it's because they've lost themselves in the process. Yet they go home in the afternoon and they leave Eddie at the office, right? And now they're themselves again. So it's this constant on and off switch that people are flickering to try and figure out who they are. And there's no reason that you can't meld the two together. You know, there's no reason why you can't take who you are and put it into your business. And there's no reason why you have to leave business at the office, right? It should be that you're this person, and that doesn't mean that you're your business or that your business is you. But when you put it together and it becomes more uniform and consistent that you're living this person in every aspect of your life, because I'm a firm believer that there's no such thing as work-life balance. It's just life, you know? So if you can be you at the office and you can be you at home, and you can put all these aspects together and still, you know, live out your true values, then it becomes a much easier process, and you're a lot more grateful and you're fulfilled. And that's probably the biggest lesson that I've had to learn personally, because I used to do the same thing, you know, is that it's okay to build a better mousetrap and put your own flair on it. And that's probably the best thing to do, because it makes you, again, stand out from the crowd in the competition.
No, that's awesome. I love how you said a couple things there. Is one, obviously, you don't have to reinvent the wheel unless you're coming out with a very unique product, something, especially in marketing and digital marketing, like it's a commodity. Most businesses are, that's just the way of the nature, but that there is really no such thing as a work-life balance. And I think people are always trying to look for that. And it's not to say that you can't ever keep tweaking it and getting better and being more consistent in certain areas. I always look at it in seasons, right? So some seasons, the work-life balance is going to be out of whack one way or the other, but consistently, if you're doing what makes sense for you and owning it and portraying that to your audience and your customers, that's what ultimately is going to give you the best chance for success and have you, you know, kind of at that flow state throughout your entire course of your life. I don't know if you would agree with that.
I totally agree. No, it's so true. And, you know, it's cliche to say, but people do buy you.
Yeah.
They 100% buy you. Yeah, you have to have a good product to go along with it. Don't be selling shit. But the reality of it is they buy you.
Exactly. And I mean, we were literally just talking about this before. I was asking your company name, because I'm like, all I know is Amy Ball. And there have been people that, like, as I've made the transition from my own agency to now at Height, like, people know Height now more, but people are like, I only know Adam. And that's like the cool part about it. You know, it's that personal brand. It's that authenticity. It's that you aspect, which is phenomenal. You've done a great job of that. The fifth and final part of the entrepreneur process, we'll talk about the distribution. So within beer, it's obviously taking a beer to market and selling it. What is next? You have so much going on. There's a lot of exciting things, but give us an idea about what's next for the future of Amy.
So it's funny you ask, because I have actually decided here recently to delve deeper into my own advice that I give all the time. Whereas it's, you know, how do you continue to meld everything that you're doing with who you want to be in the world? So, you know, obviously we're doing a lot with automation, a lot of with systems, processes, workflows, just making things simpler to where, you know, people who are running businesses have more time and they are able to make more money through the use of technology. But what I've come to realize is that technology is very impersonal. It's, you know, it's very fact-based. It's very logic-based. I totally geek out on it. However, 90% of people don't, right? So even though you having the conversation about, you know, the way that technology can improve productivity and the way that it can increase sales when you're tracking better metrics and things like that. The truth behind it is technology should be used to build trust, right? Technology should be used in a way that has that emotional aspect, you know, like we were just talking about. People buy from those they trust. They work for those they trust. They advocate for those they trust. So how can you use technology in a way that builds trust into your business? Well, as a byproduct, allows you to improve productivity and increase revenue. So we are working on a project right now that's going to take those factors into consideration and become more holistic, to where it's not only, you're not only using technology to build trust at an internal cultural level, but that is also emanating out to where you're taking, turning employees into brand leaders and, you know, team advocates, so that your customers are believing in the brand, so that you're educating your prospects in a way that you're engaging them better. And so that is what's on the horizon right now. And everything is, that's where 100% of our focus is.
That's exciting. It sounds like it's going to be a very cool project. Sounds like it's a lot of good stuff coming in the pipeline for you. I'm excited to see that and see everything take off. I have no doubt in my mind that it will. Well, Amy, really appreciate you coming on the show today. Before we get into show notes and things like that, any last pieces of advice that you'd like to share with the audience today?
Drink more beer.
That's a good piece of advice. Can't go wrong with that advice. Can't go wrong with that advice. Well, Amy,
thank you for having me, Adam.
Yeah, of course. It's always great talking with you. Looking forward to, you know, seeing where things go for you and continuing to see all the exciting things that you do, especially on social media. Definitely get jealous from time to time. But let the audience know. We'll put all this stuff in the show notes, but where can people find you and easily access your information and everything that you do?
Well, they can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/AmyBall. They can find me on LinkedIn, and also entrepreneurecosystem.net, and coming soon, trustkeg.com.
Awesome. We will have that all in the show notes for you guys. And we want to thank you all again for tuning in to today's podcast. Please be sure to subscribe, download, and share content. Leaving a 5-star review goes a long way. And thank you again to Half Coast Studios. If you're here in St. Louis and looking to start your own podcast, then you seriously need to come check out what they have going on here. See you all next week. And remember, entrepreneurs aren't born, they are brewed.
I'm an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs aren't born, they're brewed. Thank you for listening to Entrepreneur Podcast with your host, Adam McChesney. Let's go.